us any. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. As we prepare for the auction tonight, I'll be a little shorter than normal. Everybody's getting ready to buy some cakes. Revelation chapter 2. Look at we'll start in verse 8, the church of Smyrna. You can hear John on the Isle of Patmos is writing to the churches, these seven churches. Here he's writing to the church of Smyrna. John is on the Isle of Patmos where he has been sent. He's in his 80s, and he's been sent to the Isle of Patmos because of his faithfulness to the Lord, for standing for Jesus Christ. Tonight, I just want to encourage you to remain faithful. To remain faithful. Look at Revelation 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful. He tells the church of Smyrna, these Christians who are going to suffer, he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. But be thou faithful, even unto death. We are today living in a day and age in which we know, again, Christians in the Middle East and China and other places are suffering. We saw some of that in Afghanistan when America pulled out. But in America, we are seeing more and more, you know, advances towards and mocking of Christians, making fun of Christians. And we're going to continue to see that as we move forward. And I think tonight for me, it was just the thought is be faithful. Be faithful. Here he says to the church of Smyrna, be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit to be faithful. To be faithful every day at work, at school, God, with our families. And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here John is writing to the churches again, these seven churches. What he's saying to these churches applies to us as well. I'm thankful for our church and for many of you who I've known for many years who have been faithful and continue to be faithful. As mom and dad, as a Christian, have you been faithful? And by that I mean, I'm not talking about just, again, coming to church on Sunday and Wednesdays, but have you been faithful? Are you faithful in the workplace? Are you faithful to the Lord in the workplace? Are you faithful to the Lord at school? Are you faithful to the Lord with your neighbors? And are you faithful to the Lord, listen, with your family? The people that see you more than anyone else, the people who see behind the curtain, are you faithful in the home? We as Christians are challenged to be faithful, to be good stewards and be faithful until he returns. Number one, I just encourage you to be faithful because faithfulness helps build faith. We know this. Romans 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more we hear the preaching of the word of God, the more we read the word of God, it grows our faith. Faith is grown by that. But faith is grown by trials, our faithfulness. Faith is grown by trials. And faithfulness in trials and sorrows and heartaches will grow our faith. Faithfulness in times of trials will be a testimony to others. Be a testimony to your family. A testimony to your kids, to your grandkids. Faithfulness in times of trials and in times of adversity will help in dealing with others who may go through similar circumstances. I know most of you know my wife and I both, we lost two girls. And it has helped us. They both passed away when they were 4 months old. And it has helped in the ministry, and I know my wife as well, to be able to talk to others who have lost babies, who have lost little ones, to minister to them. So whatever you're going through, God will use that to grow your faith. God will use that to be a testimony to those around you, especially those in your home. They're watching you. By the way, Christians ought to react differently to adversity than the world. There ought to be a difference. Your coworkers ought to see the difference that when you are faced with a tragedy or when you are faced with adversity, that you react different than those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because we have one we can trust. We have one who we know is guiding our lives and one who is leading us. We know that God has our best interests in mind. And we ought to react differently. Faithfulness to the Lord helps build faith. We know this example that's used most of the time in the Old Testament is David. David was prepared to fight Goliath by killing the lion and the bear first. God used things in David's life to prepare him to fight that big giant. He was building his faith. And in building his faith, he experienced the power of God. Again, we think about little trials, bigger trials, bigger trials, bigger trials that grow our faith, exercise our faith. Again, we think about the physical body. The only way to grow muscle is to exercise and to increase the weight as you go in order to build muscle. Got to have some protein too. I love protein. Kind of a steak. I'm hungry. All right, I'll move on. Chocolate cake. Faithfulness helps build faith. Number two, faithfulness will prove that God's grace is real. Is God's grace real in your life? 2 Corinthians, I'm going to turn over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, familiar passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the passage about, again, Paul asking for the thorn to be removed. He says in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh," and we scholars and all those who are much smarter than us believe it was something to do with his eyes. "A thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he, the Lord, said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly," Paul says, "therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Amen. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He asked the Lord to remove it. Paul believed God would remove it. He prayed three times. If he didn't believe he'd remove it, he wouldn't have prayed three times. Prayed God to remove it. Instead, God gave him grace to go through the problem. Again, it doesn't matter what the TV evangelist says. It doesn't matter what the preacher says on the radio or the preacher says on your podcast. Christians were never promised a life without trials. That's not true. Christians were never promised that they wouldn't get sick. Again, there's a group out there that preaches that if you're sick, that God never intended for that to happen. God never promised those things. But he did promise that through the trials that he would carry us through. That through the trials that he would give us grace and strength to go through the problems. He'd go through the problems with us. He'd go through the adversity with us. I don't know about you, but the three Hebrew children had a fourth man in the fire who went with them through the fire. And God will go with you through the fire. And God will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul could have quit. I mean, look, Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was stoned to death. Paul was whipped. He was in prison. But he didn't quit. He remained faithful to the Lord. And we today get to witness Paul's testimony of faithfulness. His faithfulness is a testimony to us. It encourages us. It encourages us. By the way, your kids are watching you. Your grandkids are watching you. Number three, faithfulness will encourage others to be faithful. Again, your kids are watching you. Do they see compromise in your life? Again, mom and dads, none of us are perfect. And behind the curtain at home, we'll make mistakes. We'll do some things we shouldn't do, and our kids understand that to a point. But are you faithful? When you do make mistakes, do you talk to your kids about it? Amen? Being faithful at the house, living the Christian life every day, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. We need to understand that all those who come behind us need to find us faithful. There's a song that is, may all who come behind us find us faithful. I'm thankful for a godly legacy in my family, my dad and my grandfather, my papa, my grandma. A godly legacy, many of you could attest to the same thing. Faithfulness encourages others to be faithful. Your faithfulness encourages others to be faithful. No man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. And your life, if lived for the Lord and lived right, will encourage someone. Number four, faithfulness will keep us from becoming a stumbling block. Romans chapter 14, verse 13 says that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We need to be careful. This is one of the areas in which you can apply in so many different ways. We ought to be careful. We need to be faithful so that we're not a stumbling block to somebody else. So someone doesn't use that as an occasion for them to give up. To give up. Remain faithful. Remain faithful even to death. Remain faithful even until the Lord returns. Remaining faithful. Remaining faithful. Paul pressed toward the mark. Paul pressed forward. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark. I think about someone, a group of people. When I think about someone who was faithless, a great Old Testament illustration of that is the 10 spies who went into Jericho. If you want to, you can turn over there, but I'll read it. But Numbers chapter 13 and 14, they came to the River Jordan after the Mount Sinai experience, after receiving the 10 Commandments, after hearing the voice of God, after hearing the voice of God trumpet out the 10 Commandments. Can you imagine that, being at the bottom of the mountain and hearing the voice of God as these, thou shalt not kill, and hearing that, and the whole mountain was on fire and quaking, and there was thunderings and lightnings. I mean, God was showing his immense power. And they come to the River Jordan to cross over the Jordan River to go into the land that God would give them. Over and over again in the Old Testament, he says, you'll go into the land that I will give you. They didn't have to earn it. He said, I will fight for you. I will fight for you. Moses sent in the 12 spies, and they spied out the land. When they came back, Caleb and Joshua, who wholly followed the Lord, said, let's go. It says, and Caleb stilled the people, verse 30 of chapter 13, and before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Let's go. God has given us this land. In fact, he says that in chapter 14. He said, God has given this to us. Let's go. But we know the negative report of the other 10 spies says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched out of the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which are come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Faithless. Not putting their trust in the Lord. The children of Israel didn't cross over the River Jordan because they were faithless. They didn't put their faith and trust in the Lord. Joshua says in the next chapter, he says this, he says, the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Joshua says, those people that are in the land of Canaan, that land that was promised to us, those giants are bread for us. They're going to grow us. They're going to grow us. Bread I'm going to eat bread and I'm going to grow. Those individuals are bread for us. They're going to grow our faith. They're going to grow our trust in the Lord. He says, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. They were faithless. They were a stumbling block to the whole 1 or 2 million Jews. Took the word of the 10 over the word of the 2. Somebody has said this: as a Christian, you ought to take a stumbling stone, and make it a stepping stone. Amen? But there's giants, there's lions and bears, oh my. No, stepping stones. Joshua said they were bread for us to grow our faith. Listen, whatever you are going through, whatever adversity you may be facing, it's a stepping stone. And God can use it in your life. By the way, God can use it in your life for you to experience in a greater way the grace of God. To experience the grace and power of God in your own life. Number 5, faithfulness will always pay off in rewards. We benefit from being faithful. We benefit from being faithful. Verse 10, there at the last, it says, "And I will give thee a crown of life." There's a reward for faithfulness. There's a reward in heaven when we get there for being faithful. And there's rewards here and now. I know my dad just planted a garden. I remember as a kid, Dad planting a garden. I enjoy the fruit of the garden, but work in the garden I don't enjoy. I don't enjoy picking weeds. I don't enjoy much of any of it. I love the fruit, though. Amen? We need to remember this. We're in the work of the Lord. There's a work to be done. Amen. Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." Brother Martinez there in Boulder, Colorado, whom we support on a monthly basis. We send money to him. We're praying for them. And they're planting a church in an area that's relatively difficult, comparatively speaking, to some other places in America. And I got to see him at the men's advance and just say howdy. And I'm just encouraged by his attitude, encouraged by his enthusiasm. I'm encouraged by his faithfulness. Some of y'all know who Jack Brown is. Planted a church up there as well, close there. He's still going. Like 7 or 8 years later, I think he's running like 10. Still faithful. Amen. Still at it. Just being faithful to the Lord. God will reward that. God will reward your faithfulness as you teach that Sunday school class. God rewards that faithfulness as you keep the nursery, as you whatever area of service you are here in the church, ushering and security, musicians, everything. God blesses faithfulness. God will reward you for that faithfulness. By the way, faithfulness is not big or little. Be faithful. Be faithful. Don't quit. Don't give up. Oh, faithfulness is required of pastors and deacons and maybe a couple. No, faithfulness is required of all of us. Be thou faithful. Be thou faithful. Reward, a crown of life. Jesus Christ was faithful. He was faithful to the end. He was faithful even unto death. He endured the cross for us. Certainly we should be faithful to Him. Salvation is not found, by the way, in being faithful, but found in faith. You can't be saved by being faithful. Hello? You're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. His life, His death, and His resurrection. Christians, we're to continue in our faith. As the world, as the light continues to go be dimmer and dimmer, we're to be faithful. We're to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're to shine as lights. By the way, the light shines much brighter and the darker it gets. You can be much brighter now than we were 10, 15, 20 years ago. Paul, of course, you know the illustration he's giving there in Philippians chapter 3, our theme verse. Press toward the mark, he said. What does that mean? What mark is he saying we should press toward? Well, that means to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. It means to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. to be imitators of Christ. And as Christians, we are not to quit. We're not to quit. We're not to stop striving to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We're not to slow down or fall. We must finish the race that is set before us. We must be faithful. Jesus told the faithful servant, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So one day I want to get to heaven, and having been faithful, I'll never forget again reading the biography of the great missionary, Adoniram Judson, and remembering the faithfulness he had, even though he saw very little results the first 7 years of his ministry. In fact, he saw no results. First Baptist missionary there to India, to that area there, the southern part. Not one convert in 7 years. Could you imagine that? Not one convert. Having problems with his wife as well, and issues physically with her, and thrown in jail. I just can't imagine. But he just remained faithful. He remained faithful. And God used him in a miraculous way. God used him to see hundreds, thousands of people saved because he remained faithful. May we remain faithful. I wonder what would have happened had the Sunday school teacher never reached Dale Moody. What would have happened had the person who led Billy Graham to the Lord. By the way, Billy Graham was led to the Lord in an independent Baptist meeting, revival meeting. It's kind of neat. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. Let's all stand. Hymn 162, "Lord, I'm Coming Home," after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you not only have encouraged us and commanded us to be faithful, but Lord, you empower us to be faithful. Lord, may we lean on you. May we depend upon your Holy Spirit daily as we strive to be consistent in our walk with you, that it might be a testimony to those around us. And Lord, that we might reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.